Father, we thank you for this wonderful day you've given to us. I pray, God, you help me for the next few minutes to preach the Word of God, to deliver this great truth that we have here before us today. God, help us. Help us, Lord Jesus. We sure do need it. Well, God, bless now. I pray we'll step out of the way and allow the Holy Spirit of God to move and take control of the service and do what needs to be done. Lord, I thank you and I love you. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn with me to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. The Gospel of John chapter 20. We're going to see some things here tonight. We're going to read the first 16 verses together. And we'll just read all these verses so you get the setting of the story. And then Lord willing, we'll come back to the same chapter on Wednesday night and try to preach the rest of the message, something I believe will be interesting to you. I mentioned the other week that I had a question I obtained by reading the Bible, and I've had that question for about a year. And God gave me an answer to the question as I was studying and reading the Bible. And I'm going to try to share that with you on Wednesday night. It'll be an in-depth Bible study on Wednesday night, so be back for that if you will. And I'll try to give an answer, I believe, what God's given me. But let's look here, if you would, John chapter 20. Let's begin reading in verse 1 through 16. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre to see, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. And she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciples whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lying, and the napkin that was about his head not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the Scriptures, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre, weeping as she wept. She stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus lay. And they said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Here's an interesting story. Great things you could preach on. And may God help us tonight here. Mary Magdalene, one of the Marys in the Bible. I believe there are seven Marys in the Bible. It's easy to get them confused, but Mary was the one that came to the sepulchre. She looked in and did not see the body of Jesus Christ. Went back and told, I believe, Simon, Peter, and John. John ran, and Peter ran, and they both, John did outrun Peter and looked into the sepulchre, not seeing the body of Jesus Christ. So Peter stooped down and looked in, and he entered in and saw that Jesus Christ wasn't there. His grave clothes was. The napkin was placed by itself, wrapped or folded. That's the story altogether. I'll just give that to you real quick. As a king was eating a meal at his table, if he got interrupted in the meal, he would take his napkin from off his breast, or off of his lap, and he would fold his napkin and lay it beside his plate, and that would tell the waitress or tell the servant that he was coming back to finish his meal. If he got through with the meal, he would just take his napkin or whatever it was on his body, and he would take it and ball it up and throw it on the table. If it was balled up, that means he was through, it was finished, it's all over. But if it was wrapped or folded, that means he's coming back. Hey, praise God, when they looked into the sepulcher, they saw that napkin about his face was wrapped or folded. Hey, that means, my friend, that Jesus Christ is not through. That he's coming back again to rapture his church out, to catch us away to be his bride forever in glory. Here, Mary comes, she looked in, didn't see the body of Jesus, but she saw two angels, which is a great picture. I tell you about it on Wednesday night. Here, my friend, she stooped in and she saw not the body of Jesus Christ. I'm going to try to preach for a few minutes. What are you looking at? What are you looking at tonight? Boy, I heard that language in school. You go to school and you look at somebody. They say, what in the world are you looking at? What are you looking at, my friend? Hey, tonight, Christians, what are we looking at? Here, Mary Magdalene, she went into the sepulcher and looked, and she did not see the body of Jesus Christ. I want to tell you what was going on in Mary's life. When she looked in and did not see her Savior, did not see the body of Jesus Christ, she did not understand what was going on. She didn't have the written revelation of God's Word like we have today. She didn't have the Bible in complete form like we had today. She didn't know the last chapter. She didn't know that Christ was risen again. She didn't know her Savior ever lived to make intercession for her. All she knew, she trusted in a man that said he was God's Son, that said he was the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and was going to redeem his chosen people. He was going to set up his kingdom. She put her faith and trust in him. He died on an old rugged cross. They wrapped him in grave clothes, laid him in the sepulcher, and then she went to see the body of her Savior, and the body was gone. Boy, she got disheartened. I can imagine her heart breaking as she looked into the grave and did not see her Savior's body. She did not see the Lord Jesus Christ. I can imagine, my friend, she got defeated. Boy, could you imagine going to the graveside of someone you love, someone you care for, someone you had faith in, someone you had confidence in, and their body was gone, and you did not understand. I want you to know at this point, she didn't understand what was going on. Sometimes, beloved, we don't understand what's going on. Sometimes something just happens to come in our lives. Just every once in a while, something just happens to drive into our lives, and we don't understand why. Maybe it's sickness, or maybe death, or maybe suffering, or maybe some kind of trouble comes into our lives, and we don't see the whole picture yet, and we wonder what in the world is going on. Well, it's all right when you get through the trouble. It's all right when you get through the problem, and you look back on it in hindsight, and you say, "Hey, I understand now. I understand." I understand now. I understand when I used to work at Blumenthal Mills and come home in misery and miserable and just tired and worn out, how God laid me off so I could pastor the church the way it needs to be pastored. I understand now, but I sure didn't understand then. I understand now. My friend, I've been saved for almost 90 years, and I've conducted almost 31 funerals. I can understand now, looking back on it, how all those deaths has took place, how God was preparing me to help someone else out. I understand now, but I didn't understand then. Mary looked into the grave, and she didn't see her body. She didn't see the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and she didn't understand what was going on. She just knew that the one she trusted in, the one she had faith in, was gone. His body was gone, and she was disheartened. She was brokenhearted. She was defeated. I believe, my friend, that she was discouraged. I believe she was down and depressed. Oh, you ever got that? You ever been there? You ever been to a place where something come in your life, and you don't understand? Maybe your daughter's going to have to go to the hospital, and all the way to fix the problem is to have surgery, and you don't understand right now what's going on. Maybe you've been to the death of a mother or been to the death of a father. You've been to the graveside. You've seen them lower the body down into the ground, and right then at that moment, you didn't understand what was going on. Maybe you've been to the bedside of someone you love who's suffering with cancer or suffering with some kind of illness or suffering with some kind of disease, and you look at them and wonder, how in the world could something like this happen to us? We just don't understand what's going on. Here, Mary Magdalene didn't understand. I want you to don't go off on her now. She didn't have the Bible. She didn't know that Christ was risen from the grave. She didn't know that Christ, my friend, was going to ascend up to heaven. All she knew is that she loved Jesus enough to go to the graveside. And as she looked in, she thought somebody has robbed the body of her Savior, has took the body of Jesus Christ. And she was there. She got depressed. And she got down. And she got disheartened. She got discouraged. She got defeated, my friend. You've ever been defeated in your Christian life? Boy, I have. I sure have. I've been almost at the point, my friend, where you want to take the white towel and just throw it in and say, I quit. I can't take it no more. It's just too much to bear.
It's just too much of a load. It's just too much of a burden. I'm getting defeated. I'm getting heartbroken. I'm getting discouraged. I don't have enough of strength. Sometimes, my friend, at the very moment, at the very problem we're in, sometimes we just want to quit and say no more. I believe Mary's at that point. She went running to the tomb and looked in and didn't see her Savior. The Bible says she started weeping. She cared enough about Jesus that she started weeping. Look here if you would. In verse 11, but Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping as she wept and stooped down and looked into the sepulcher and seeing two angels in white sitting at the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She said unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned her about and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Here, my friends, she ran to the sepulcher, looked for Jesus Christ. His body was gone. She started weeping. The Bible says she stooped down. She actually got on her knees, and she got down low enough to look into the grave to see where Jesus Christ was. He was not there. She began to weep, my friend. But I want you to notice what was there. These two angels was there. These two angels was there. But my friend, I want to tell you something that wasn't good enough for Mary. My friend, if you ever get in need and you need Jesus, nothing else is going to do. These two angelic beings was there, these angels, one sitting at the head of Jesus, one sitting at where the feet of Jesus was. Hey, they talked to her. They spoke to her. She saw them. But hey, my friend, she was in such a desperate need for Jesus Christ that nothing else would do. I've been there. I've been there in my Christian life where I needed Jesus' touch in my body. I needed Jesus' touch in my ministry. I needed Jesus' touch in my family. And no matter how many people come by and hugged us and loved on us and wrote us a note and called us on the telephone, it was nothing compared to what Jesus Christ can do. I'm going to tell you every once in a while in your Christian life, you just need something for God and nothing else would do. Boy, you ever got hungry for something about 8:30, 9 o'clock at night? You got the munchies? Well, you open up the cabinet and you see all the fruit and vegetables and all that wheat stuff. I'm preaching on food again, sister. Amen. And you're craving something. You want something to eat, and no matter what you find, it's just not satisfying. Sometimes I get that way with sweet tea. Boy, you get a good old glass. Now, glass, not some plastic glass, but a good old glass. And put a few ice cubes in it and fill it up with iced tea and wrap a napkin around it. Hey, you can drink 3 or 4 glasses and you just want another glass, but your belly's about to pop. You're so full, but yet you want another glass. My friend, if you start craving Jesus, nothing else is going to take its place. You just start craving the Lord. Hey, she was there. And she was there at his graveside. She saw the grave clothes. She saw the napkin. And she saw these two angels. Could you imagine seeing two angels, beloved? I've never seen an angel. I married one. I believe my wife's an angel. I love her to death. But I've never seen two angelic beings come from heaven. I've never looked at them and put my eyes upon them. I believe, my friend, that she needed Jesus and nothing else could do in her life. She was downhearted, discouraged, defeated. Like some of us get. Like maybe some of us are tonight. You know what? She was looking for Jesus, but she didn't see him. She was looking for Jesus, but all she saw was just an empty tomb. She went to go find Christ, but she did not see Jesus. She did not know. She did not know the outcome. She didn't understand. You know what the Bible says in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 51? My eye affected my heart. She saw something that she went to see Jesus. Jesus was not there. And because he was not there, that affected her heart, my friend. Many times we get our eyes on the situation. We get our eyes on the problem. We get our eyes on the circumstances. And it affects our hearts. It gets us disheartened. It gets us defeated. It gets us depressed. It gets us down and out in our Christian life. I want you to turn here with me in Matthew. Matthew chapter 9. Save your place in John. We'll be turning back. But look here in Matthew chapter 9, if you will. I want you to see what's going on here. Jesus Christ gives us the illustration about seeing. Remember, Lamentations 3:51 says, my eye affecteth my heart. Because of what we see, it affects our lives. I believe that. I believe what we see, what we allow into our eye gates and ear gates, it affects our lives. But look here in Matthew chapter 9. In verse 35, Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Here Jesus Christ was preaching the gospel. Jesus Christ was healing all manner of sickness, all those who was hurting. Hey, Jesus Christ was doing marvelous work. But the Bible says when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion. My eye affected my heart. If you just get out there and put your eyes upon people who's dying and going to hell, it affects your heart. It gives you compassion. It lets you know they need to be saved. If you see a little family suffering, many times at Christmas, hey, we go to a family's house and all they're going to get for Christmas is just another day. All they're going to get is just another day. No presents, no hugs, no I love yous, no Christmas dinners. Hey, nothing at all. It's just another day. And you see them children, you see them suffering, and you want to do all you can to help them. Your eye affects your heart. Your eye affects your life. Even Jesus Christ said he saw the multitude and was moved with compassion. Now I want you to get this. Mary going to the grave of someone she loved dearly, and the body was gone. She figured them little rascals went in there, stole the body of Jesus. Stole the body of Jesus. And she started weeping. She started crying. I'm going to tell you, my friend, Mary got her eyes on the wrong thing. She got her eyes on the circumstances. She got her eyes on what was before and was not looking at what was beside her. I want you to see this. Not only did she saw an empty tomb, but she heard the Master's voice. Look here back in John, if you will, John chapter 20. John chapter 20, let's look in verse 16. John chapter 20 and verse 16, the Bible says here, Jesus says to her, Mary. Boy, that's good, ain't it? Boy, she went to the sepulcher to see the body of Jesus. Jesus wasn't there. His body was gone. She thought it was stolen. Hey, she got down. She stooped down. And she started crying and weeping like she probably never cried a week before. And she said, hey, angels, I'm glad you're here. You might can help somebody else, but you can't help me. I need Jesus. Hey, she said, dude, do you know where he's at? And they said, hey, we can't tell you where he's at. But hey, I'm going to tell you something. He's risen again. He's not here. He's risen. And my friend, as soon as they said that, the Bible says she's turned back and she started walking out and she heard the voice of her Savior that says, Mary. Hey, thank God he knows your name tonight. Hey, no matter what situation you're in, you're depressed, you're disheartened, you're discouraged tonight, you're defeated tonight, you feel like throwing in the towel and just quitting because you've got your eyes on the circumstances, you got your eyes on your surroundings, you got your eyes on the storm, you feel like quitting tonight. Hey, thank God that Jesus Christ in heaven can call down and call your name tonight. Hey, turn here if you would. I believe it's John chapter 10. Look here with me in God's Word in John chapter 10. We'll be turning back to John 20. But look here in John chapter 10. Let's read the first three verses together and hope God can help you tonight just a little bit. Here in John chapter 10. Notice what the Bible says here in verse 1. Verily, verily, here's Jesus Christ speaking. I say unto you, he that entereth not in by the door of the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. And to him the porter is open, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. Hey, thank God, my friend, he knows your name tonight, and he can call your name just as good as he calls Mary's name. And Mary heard that her name spoken by the Savior, my friend. Here she was weeping, here she was crying. Here, my friend, she got her eyes on her own thing, and our Savior spoke out and said, Mary! Well, thank God he ain't got to say too much. All he got to do every once in a while is say, Scott. Scott! Hey, Tabitha! Every once in a while, all you got to do is call your name out, and you know, everything's still in control. Everything's still all right. Everything's still in his hands. Hey, my friend, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but I know who holds tomorrow in his hand. And every once in a while, when I get dehearted, when I get defeated, when I get discouraged, all I have to do is just hear his name. All I have to do is hear him call my name. All I have to do is just hear his voice. Every once in a while, I call Mama up, not to tell her anything, just to tell her, hey. I said, Mama, just call and tell you, hey, and I love you. And she'd say, it's good to hear from you. I love you too. Every once in a while, she just wants to hear my voice. Every once in a while, I want to hear her voice. Me and my wife always speak about every day. I want to hear her voice. She wants to hear my voice. Not to say go do this and go do that, but just say, hello, I love you. Every once in a while, I just need to hear the voice of Jesus. He don't have to say a whole lot, but if he just calls your name out, you know he still loves you. You know he's still thinking about you. You know everything's still all right. Church, what are we looking at tonight? We get our eyes on our circumstances. We get our eyes on our surroundings. And we get them off of Jesus Christ. Hey, my friend, it don't take long to get defeated then. It don't take too long to get discouraged then. Hey, tonight, my friend, you got a problem in your life. You can look at that problem and get your eyes off the Savior. You get them on that problem. And it won't be too long before you'll be ready to quit. Mary's looking at the wrong thing. She looked at the grave and didn't see her Savior. She heard His voice. But I want you to notice what else here in verse 16, what the Bible says. Jesus said to her, Mary, she turned herself and saith unto Him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. I want you to get this now. I'm going to give you something else in just a few minutes. Here, Mary went to the sepulchre. She went and told Peter and John that Jesus Christ wasn't there. So they ran to the sepulchre, and she didn't see her Savior. So she went to the sepulchre. She looked in, and she couldn't see Him. She stooped down. She didn't see the body of Jesus. She began to cry. She saw them two angels. But the angels wasn't good enough because she needed her Savior. And she heard the voice of her Savior say, Mary. And what the Bible says happened, the Bible says she turned herself. She was looking at her problem instead of looking at the Savior. And as soon as she heard His voice, and He said, Mary, the Bible says she turned herself and put her eyes back on the Savior. And she said, then, Master. She said, hey, I've had a problem. My problem is I was missing You, and I couldn't see You. But as soon as I heard Your voice, and I turned around from my problems and put my eyes back on Jesus, I realize You're still the Master. Hey, my friend, we get our eyes on the problem. We get our eyes on the circumstances. We get our eyes on how little our pocketbooks are. We get our eyes on how little's in the refrigerator. We get our eyes on how little we have coming into the house instead of putting them on the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The Bible says that when she turned herself, she realized He's the Master. My friend, you know what we need to do? We need to turn around, get our eyes off of everything else, and put them back on Jesus. Put them back on Jesus. Just put our eyes back on Jesus. The Bible says this for us in Hebrews. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and with sin which doeth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the same, and is sit down on the right hand of the throne of God. You know what us Christians are supposed to do? We're supposed to keep our eyes on Jesus. But every once in a while we get them off of Jesus and put them on something else. And it gets us heartbroken. It gets us defeated. It gets us discouraged. The Bible says when she turned around, when she turned herself and she put her eyes back on her Savior, she realized then that He's still the Master. Hey, beloved, He's still Lord. You don't have to make Him Lord. He's still Lord. He's still the Master. He's still the Commander-in-Chief. Hey, He's still God, friend. He's still bigger than any problem you can ever have in your life. He's all sufficient to meet every need that we ever have. The Bible says she turned herself. But I want to show you this. It's not a contradiction of the Bible, but it's just a great truth we have. Look what it says here, if you will. Let's read the whole thing again. In verse 11, the Bible says, but Mary stood without at the sepulchre, weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She said unto them, because thou hast taken away my Lord, and I know not where thou hast laid Him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus said unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing Him to be the gardener, said unto Him, sir, if thou hast borne Him hence, tell me where thou hast laid Him, and I will take Him away. Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned herself and said unto Him, Rabboni, which is to say,
Master. If you read this the same way I'm reading it, and Mary saw Jesus Christ twice. The first time she saw him, it didn't help her. It didn't help her. I thought about that. Why didn't it help her? Why didn't it help her when she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher, saw the body of Jesus, not there. And as she heard, she saw them angels. She heard Jesus say, "Whom seekest thou? Why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" The Bible says she turned herself back and seeing Jesus and supposing him to be the gardener. And then he called her name. She turned back and saw Jesus and realized who it was and said, "Master." Why wasn't the first time good enough for her? I believe this is what's going on. Can I use you for a minute, Brother Jeff? Would you be Jesus for a minute? Y'all imagine now. It's going to be hard, but y'all imagine that Jeff is Jesus. Here's the sepulcher. The stone was rolled away. Everybody can look in. I believe, my own personal belief, that Jesus was standing to the side. Stand right here for me. Mary come to Peter and John and said, "Hey, the body of Jesus is gone, boys. Y'all got to come. We need some help." So Peter and John ran. They didn't see the body of Jesus. They went back to their own company. And Mary came to the sepulcher. I believe this is what happened. Mary came to the sepulcher. Hey, she stooped down. She looked into the sepulcher. She didn't see the body of Jesus. She began to cry. She began to weep. Her eyes filled up with tears. Hey, she stood up and turned around and saw Jesus. The Bible says she turned back. Hey, she didn't turn to face Jesus. She saw her problem. As she was turning back to go back home, she saw Jesus. Hey, my friend, sometimes Jesus Christ is nearer to us than we can ever imagine. And sometimes we just bypass Jesus because we believe the problem is too big. The Bible says here that Mary stooped down, began to weep. She didn't see her Savior. She stood up. She turned herself back. That means she's going to go back the way she come. And as she turned around, she saw Jesus. She thought he was the gardener. He was probably over there around some shrubs, around some trees, doing what he can do, doing what only Jesus can do. And as she begins to walk away, he calls her name and said, "Mary." As he calls her name, she turned around and she said, "Hey, Master, I see you." You know what I'm trying to tell us tonight, my friend? I'm going to give you two great spiritual truths. Sometimes we get head over our heels and we believe our problem is too big for Jesus and we don't give them to Jesus. We don't bring our problems to Jesus. We just turn back and say, "There's no problem. There's no answer. Hey, there's nothing Jesus can do. I might as well just do it by myself." But you know what happened? I want you to get this. As she stooped down, looking into the sepulcher, and began to cry, the whole time, Jesus was right beside her. Right beside her. Because the Bible says she turned herself back. She was looking this way, and as she turned back, she saw Jesus, but she really didn't look at him because she thought it was the gardener. The whole time, when she was disheartened and defeated, thank you, brother, and discouraged, her Savior was right beside her. Ain't that something, folks? We get defeated. Lord knows I get defeated. Sometimes I get so low I can just crawl up under this carpet. Sometimes I get to a point I wonder, will I live to make it another day? The whole time, Jesus is standing beside me, waiting for me to put my eyes back on him so he can help me the only way that he can help. The Bible says she turned herself back, supposing him to be the gardener. But when he called her name out, she stopped dead in her tracks and looked at Jesus and said, "Master, Master, you're going to have a problem this week. You're going to have a situation this week. Something's going to happen in your life this week. And I want you to know this, if you're born again, if you're a Christian, if you're saved, Jesus Christ is ever by your side. He'll never leave thee. He'll never forsake thee." Mary stooped down and got her eyes on the wrong thing. Jesus Christ was beside her the whole time.
She didn't have to worry about weeping. She didn't have to worry about crying. She didn't have to get defeated. All she had to do was get her eyes off the circumstances and put them back on the Savior. All she had to do is get her eyes off the problem and put them back on her God. All she has to do is get her eyes off of the storm, get her eyes off of the sickness, get her eyes off of the trouble and put them back on the Lord, put them back on the King, put them back on her God, put them back on her Savior. I want you to know something, my friend. Hey, our eye has affected our heart. Whatever you put your eyes on, that's how you're going to live your life. You look at your problems, your troubles, your situations, it's going to get you defeated. But every once in a while, let's forget about them. Put our eyes on Him. Realize He's still the Master. He's still the Master. And I love it, my friend, that as she went and saw the problem that she was in, Jesus Christ was beside her. Jesus Christ is beside you tonight. Whatever problem you're going to face, whatever problem is in your life tonight, Jesus Christ is right there. The Bible says His hand is not short that it cannot save, neither is His ear heavy that it cannot hear. You say, preacher, you don't know about my life, but God does. And the amazing thing is He still loves you. He still cares for you. If you're lost tonight, He'll save you. He'll forgive you your sins and make you a child of God, birth you into the family of God. If you're saved and you come short and you messed up, the Bible says we confess our sins. He's faithful just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteous. Hey, my friend, the Bible says He loves you with everlasting love. If you'll just realize tonight that Jesus Christ is all we need. Hey, sometimes He's all we've got, but when He's all you've got, He's all that you need. Hey, my friend, we just need to collapse in the arms of Jesus and realize He'll hold us up, that He'll turn us through, that, my friend, He can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or even think. She got her eyes on the problem when she should have been looking at the Savior. But thank God He didn't let her go too long. He called her name out, Mary. Maybe He's calling your name out tonight, Ruth. Don't worry about it. You go to the doctor, He'll take care of it. He'll take care of it. Hey, don't worry about it. You got a problem, don't worry about it. God's in control. God's still on His throne. And it's not took Him by surprise. And when you believe you're there by yourself, just take a few minutes and stop and listen. God's right there with you every step of the way. We've all heard that wonderful poem about the footprints in the sand. And the writer says, when my difficult times, my hard times, I look back on my past, it's only one set of footprints. And Jesus said that during those times of heartaches and troubles, I was the one who touched you. There's a lot of truth to that. When you can't do one thing for yourself, you still can look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despised the shame, and now set right on the right hand of God. And the Bible says here, let me just read this one verse to you. Let me just read this. Hey, turn to Hebrews chapter 12. I'm going to just read this one verse to you tonight. Hebrews chapter 12. I just quoted verse 2. I want to read verse 3 to you. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3. Notice what it says here, verse 3, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3. Verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus. Notice what it says here in verse 3. It says, for consider Him that endures such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest you be weary and faint of your mind. That word lest, it goes back to Genesis chapter 3. You don't have to turn there. I'll read this for you. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 3, the Bible says, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. You know what God said about that tree? He said, hey, if you eat of that tree, if you touch that tree, ye shall die. Here the Bible says, if you stop considering Christ, you will be weary in your minds and faint. Hey, my friend, we need to keep looking unto Jesus, because if you don't, your mind will faint. You will get weary. Hey, you will get defeated. You will get disheartened. You will get down and out. But if you keep your eyes on Jesus and realize He's still the Master, He's still in control, He's still God, He's still the Savior, He's still the King of Kings, He's still the Bread of Life, He's still the the living water. He's still the great I Am. He's still the bright and morning star. He's still the ever-living water. He's still, my friend, the bread of life. He's still the everlasting Father. He's still the great I Am. He's still, my friend, all that you ever need Him to be. Once you get your eyes on the Savior, you'll realize, my friend, your problem's not so big, because Jesus is still in control. Father, we thank You. We love You tonight. Pray, God, somehow, some way, this would help somebody out. Lord, there might be someone that's lost in our church building tonight. I don't know people's hearts. I can't see them the way You see them. But Lord, there might be some lost soul that needs to be saved. And they'd be willing to trust in Jesus Christ if they knew they could live the Christian life. But Father, we know they can't live the Christian life until they trust in Jesus Christ. Father, I pray tonight that they would just not worry about what their family thinks or their friends thinks, but they'll worry about what God thinks. And when they come to this old-fashioned altar, give themselves to Jesus Christ. And I know You will save them. God, I have the authority tonight from the Word of God to say that You'll save them, that You'll give them everlasting life. You'll change their lives. You'll make a new creature out of them. Only then will they be able to live the Christian life as once they give themselves to Thee. I pray, God, for us that are saved. It's so easy to get disheartened, to get defeated, to get down, depressed. I pray, God, for just a little while, we'll take our eyes off of our problems and put them back on Jesus Christ and realize You're still in control. I think about those three Hebrew children. They said, if God delivers, He's God. But if not, He's still God. Lord, you can heal everyone that's in this church building tonight. You have the right, You have the ability to do that. But God, if You choose not to, You're still God. You're still the Master. You're still in control. Help us to look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. In Jesus Christ's precious name I pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight. The invitation begins, the altar's open. Maybe you're here tonight, so you need to be saved. Won't you make your way to this altar? Won't you come to trust in Christ tonight? I'm not saying trust in this pastor. I'm not saying trust in this church. But I'm saying come and trust in Jesus. Come and trust in Jesus, the one who died for your sins. Maybe tonight you're here, you've been saved, been baptized, you want to be a member of this church. You come on forward tonight. Let that be known. Maybe you've been saved, but you've never been baptized, and you need to get that settled. You need to get that right. Won't you come tonight for that? Maybe tonight you need to give your life to Christ. Won't you come? Just let Him take full control of your life tonight. Just ask Him to forgive your sins. And by faith, trust in Him as your Savior, and He'll save you tonight. Maybe tonight, Christian, you just need to give it all to God. Just give it all to God. Say, Lord, here's my marriage. I can't do nothing about it. Lord, here's my job. I can't do nothing about it. Lord, here's my health. I can't do nothing about it. Here's my family. Here's my life, God. It's out of control. I can't do one thing about it. But Lord, tonight, help me to put my eyes back on Jesus. Help me to look unto the Lord. Help me to keep my eyes on Christ. Get them off of the problem. Get them off of the situation. And put them back on Jesus. Say, preacher, will everything get better then? You might have the same problems. You might have the same troubles. But it get better. You'll have the strength and the grace to go through it. You'll have what you need every day to keep your head up. Keep looking under Jesus and realizing He's in control. That He's well able. He's able. Got a lot of people at the altar tonight. You just take as long as you need to pray. I don't believe God's in a hurry tonight.
church, take all the time you need if you're on the altar. It's all right by me. If you get too tired of standing, you can sit down if you wish. That'd be fine. Father, we thank you tonight for who you are, that you're God, that you're still in control. Help us to keep our eyes on you this week and realize that you love us, that you want us to stop in our tracks and hear you call our names out. Lord, I thank you that we're the sheep of your pasture and we can hear your voice. And that voice of God can calm our spirits and let us know that you're still the master. Lord, I thank you. I love you tonight.